Brothers and sisters, in our scriptures this weekend, we have two great scenes. First, we hear the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Paradise, and then the desert drama of Jesus going one-on-one with the devil himself. And on this first Sunday of Lent, our first parents, Adam and Eve, naked in paradise, bring us, if you will, to Jesus, who hangs naked on a cross. And at the heart of these two stories are two invitations, an invitation to temptation and an invitation to conversion. In writing about conversion, the late Father Thomas Merton said, and I quote, "It's relatively easy to convert the sinner, but good people are often completely unconvertible simply because they don't see any need for conversion." End of quote. My friends, I think that might be many of us here. You know, I'm a good person. At least I think I'm a good person. Some people even tell me that I am. So what conversion do I need? What needs turning around in my life? I work hard. I try to do the right thing. I believe in God. I come here to celebrate the Eucharist every Sunday. So then, why should I need conversion? Now, I'm sure that the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden also believed they were good, because after all, God made them and God put them in charge of the garden. And the tree looked especially good for its fruit, for food. At least the serpent guy said it was good and said it would make them wise. Brothers and sisters, I'll bet the man and the woman in the garden thought, how could anything bad come from something that seemed so good? In other words, Adam and Eve tried to justify themselves by their own measure of goodness. And of all the trees in the garden, they just couldn't stay away from that one lousy tree. The serpent tells the woman that if she and her husband eat, their eyes will be opened and they will know good from evil. And that's exactly what happens. All too soon, they forget who they are and forget where they are. As is often the case with temptation, what happens isn't what was expected. And it's only afterwards that they realize that they've made the wrong choice. And that, my friends, is a fundamental temptation all of us face, because we want to be like God. And as in the garden with Adam and Eve, so also in the desert with Jesus and Satan. There the tempter says, "Look, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You can do anything. So if you're the Son of God, change these stones into bread. If you're hungry, eat. And if you feel like it, throw yourself off the temple. Because, Jesus, you can do anything you want. You can take over all the kingdoms of the world because you are the Son of God." But at each temptation, Jesus points away from himself and instead points to the goodness of his Father. Jesus refused to let anything replace God as a priority in his life and tells the devil, "We do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God's mouth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Only God is to be served. Only God is to be worshipped." So how about us? By what standard, then, do we measure goodness in our lives? Well, the season of Lent might be just the time for asking some hard questions. By what measure of goodness do we make our most important decisions in life? By what standard do we take stock of our life? Are we among the unconvertible because we believe, by the standard of our own goodness, that we have no real sins, that we have no real need of God's mercy? My friends, I can't think of three better ways of getting at those questions than the simple Lenten exercises of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Because the season of Lent is that time to spring clean our lives, if you will, when we look hard at all that we consume and all that consumes us. In fasting, our self-denial helps us face our real priorities and the true value of the things we want the most. Prayer helps us discern God's measure of our goodness. Almsgiving is about the wholeness of things and people, that right relationship of those who dwell on the earth and to each other. Brothers and sisters, Lent invites us to keep our priorities in focus and to look clearly at our lives and the choices we make. Lent is the time to be more honest with ourselves and with God about how we live and to ask for the forgiveness each of us needs. The Spirit who called Jesus into the desert calls us as well into a 40-day desert experience, a time to peacefully and quietly renew and recreate our relationship with God, that God might become the center of our lives in every season, not just during the Lenten season. My friends, Lent calls us away from business as usual to decide in the depths of our heart where God speaks to each one of us, what it means to be a person of faith, and what path we want our lives to take on our journey to God and Easter resurrection. Lent is a time to change directions and cling to the Lord and to His Word. Lent is a time to evaluate our own choices, to repent for past mistakes, and to pray for right judgment in the future. Lent is a time to just step back a little and spend more time exploring reflectively on what our gifts are and how we might contribute to a much more just and healthy world. Brothers and sisters, today at this liturgy, we welcome those in our midst who will be received into the full communion of the Catholic Church at the Easter Vigil. And their call should encourage all of us to recommit ourselves to the promises that were made at our own baptism and that we will renew at the Easter Vigil liturgy. So let's not make this Lenten season a one-time passing event. Let's look to this Lent as an opportunity to begin again, to renew and to reform our lives into the image of Jesus. Jesus surrendered his goodness for our sakes by laying down his life on the cross, and the sacrifice of the cross is offered to us in the bread and cup of this table of the Eucharist. My friends, so may this sacrament of the body and blood of Christ that we celebrate and receive this day strengthen us to examine our hearts and live this Lent, and hearts and lives, and live this Lent and discover God's measure of goodness and our need for God's mercy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.